Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
When we think about the sorts of stories that we own, we want to harness things that the media will typically talk about that might sit within that framework. So it might be stories of hardship, it might be emotional journeys or stories of accomplishment. But we really want to think about what's going to spark curiosity with our end customer. So think about that target audience of one. Think about what they're thinking about, what they're worrying about, what they get delighted about in their world, and bring that back to a personal story that is relatable in your business.
Hi there, innovator. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. And I hope you enjoyed my recent conversations with Scott Christensen, the expert about all things artificial intelligence and machine learning, and with Anthony Sarandria, the founder of Siteflood. I'm really excited today to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Odette Barry of Odette & Co. She's a marketing and PR specialist that teaches small business owners how to be seen in all the right places. Odette's a master storyteller with a passion for helping businesses share their stories. She's committed to helping her clients secure genuine and valuable coverage and does that with an intimate knowledge of the media landscape and trusted relationships with media outlets. She's a highly strategic thinker and understands that each business is unique with their very own unique story. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, that's InnovaBiz, where we help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal client. That requires absolute clarity about who your ideal clients are and how you can help them. To help you get that clarity about your ideal client, take a look at our Marketing Master Mini Class, where in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. Access the Marketing Master Mini Class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion, Odette talked to me about how to craft your own story by being really curious and conducting self-interviews. She explained what makes a good PR pitch and how we can spark the reader's interest. And we talked about how public accountability can keep us on track and how it can help with online courses, getting students to complete those courses. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Odette Barry. Hi, I'm your host Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Byron Bay in New South Wales, Australia, beautiful part of the world, Odette Barry, who's a marketer and a PR specialist and founder of Odette & Co. Welcome to the podcast, Odette. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always nice to have a chat with people around the world.
Rich Everett, who was our guest on episode 237 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Odette. So big hello to Rich.
Oh, he's a good human. That's very kind of him.
Now, before we start talking about all things marketing and PR, how did you get into the PR business? I know you've had kind of an interesting journey, but what were some of the big things that got you into PR?
That's a very good question, because I've had a very non-linear pathway towards publicity. I guess, like, growing up, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I was very entrepreneurial and I just loved working. I was probably working about 40-hour work weeks throughout high school outside of my school hours. But I was always just really focused on, you know, talking with people. I had really high energy and was always a bit of a social butterfly. And that's probably, you know, the DNA of a publicist in a lot of respects. I didn't know it at the time. But I went to uni a little bit later. I actually had my son when I was 21, and I decided to go back to uni when I was 24 and studied strategic communications. I'd been working in Westpac within the comms team, so one of Australia's big banks, within events and financial planning. And it wasn't necessarily the most scintillating work, but what I discovered was a real love for communications. And I guess I probably also learned that you don't have to be the target customer to talk to the target customer. talking to financial planners that were 40 odd years older than I was at the time, you know, became the norm for me. So I think I learned some really important steps in professional communication through that. But going back to university, I was actually really drawn back to study via social media, really. That was where my passion was. I was a social media addict. I used to go to Twitter meetups in Melbourne, and I just got such a buzz out of that community, and digital marketing sort of came on my radar. Interestingly enough, my sister was a publicist and I still didn't really know too much about it. And also, not too dissimilar to most people, a lot of people don't know much about PR. But then, you know, I got into this hybrid degree that was journalism, marketing, and a bit of digital focus. And, you know, through that, I always had journalism and publicity subjects, but still didn't take much notice of it. I was more focused on the marketing side of things. And, you know, I worked within organizations after that that, you know, I was within a digital comms and marketing team that had a publicist in our little pod at work. And when she went on maternity leave, I really ended up picking up a lot of slack in that role, and I absolutely adored it. And from there on, I think I really started to use what I was studying at uni to bring publicity more to the fore. But I think because my sister worked in the domain, I didn't really pursue it as much. And they say that often siblings don't want to compete with each other. And maybe subconsciously that's what was going on. But when I moved up to Byron Bay, I was in a position where I really needed to find a way to create a business, really, because there's not a lot of jobs in regional Australia, despite the booming growth in people moving and making a tree change. But I decided to sort of put the word out there and say that, you know, I was available. I'd been working in marketing and communications functions. And so I was initially freelancing. That snowballed very quickly into an agency. And, you know, now I've sort of like refined my focus to really be centered on publicity first. And there's nothing really that's brought me as much joy as helping small business owners and communicators tell their stories. So that's me in PR these days.
So you moved to Byron Bay before you started the business, and started the business because that was what you saw as the best option to support your lifestyle there, rather than the other way around.
Yeah, it was kind of a matter of need, to be honest. I had picked up some work up here working for TAFE New South Wales, and, you know, near the end of my tenure, I was traveling down to Sydney all the time with work. I was often away, and I just thought, this isn't the lifestyle that we moved here for. It was to sort of slow down, enjoy the beach, enjoy being available for school drop-offs, and sort of have a little bit more nature and lifestyle, you know, that's not just work. That being said, I've probably never worked harder in my life since having my own business. So, but yeah, I kind of got to the point with that it actually looked more stable to jump into starting my own business and having a bit more security to stay here in Byron because it's paradise and I'm not leaving. And so that's kind of how the business came apart.
Hmm. And of course, even though you said you work harder now than you have before, it's still given you flexibility, hasn't it? And as you say, allowed you to stay where you want to live.
Oh, absolutely. You know, sometimes the hours are a little wild and woolly and, you know, things can be busier than you might like them to be. But you're choosing the work that you're doing. And, you know, for me, that's been a really important journey to be on this in this little business where I'm attracting people into my community that truly, truly light my fire. You know, their stories are incredible and the work that they're doing for our community, for our planet, for our people goes far further beyond profit and, you know, helping align them with media outlets and helping them find ways to elevate their brands is something that really fuels my fire. So I might not be, you know, in as much of a stable 9-to-5 as a corporate might have offered, but it's pretty joy-fueled work.
Mm-hmm. So you've given us a pretty strong why there. So what specifically do you do for your clients?
So I am a publicist first and foremost. So I take a really tiny book of businesses to help secure coverage on their behalf. So pitch them out to media contacts that I think are aligned with their message to help them get coverage within TV, podcasts, digital, print, magazines, you name it. Go and find where there's a good fit and get that coverage. And then so my week sort of split 50-50 between retained project work with my clients. And then half of the time I teach business owners and communicators how to do that themselves. So I developed a 9-week PR training course to give people the template for how I do what I do. And, you know, the students that have been through my program have had amazing success with features in Sydney Morning Herald, Frankie Magazine, Peppermint, ABC, on some really enormous podcasts. So it's been pretty special. It's really nice seeing their stories come to life.
Hmm. There's a couple of things there that I'd like to explore further. It's I mean, there's two things there. You do hands-on work, I'm guessing, with the project work you mentioned.
Yeah.
And pitching those people to news media and then the training program. So I want to try to take those things separately with the project work. So first of all, you mentioned storytelling and you mentioned that your clients have lots of interesting stories and are doing some wonderful work making a difference in the world. So what's important about getting that story out there as opposed to just sort of the specifics of what they do?
Well, I think, you know, well, number one, no one in the media is going to carry a product message without a story wrapped around it. So when we talk about media coverage, we're always looking for ways to build a story into a product or business. You know, Simon Sinek's "People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it," I think is something that everyone's heard a million times before now. But we really need to create connection with people behind brands and products in order for people to really build that trust. And I think when we look at news outlets, they typically are covering, you know, things that are happening in a timely fashion. And often if people are going out with a news announcement from their business or product, they kind of don't realize what a news outlet's looking for. So that's really what the whole program's designed around, helping people understand the moments and stories within their business so that they can get it out there. And obviously that's one layer, getting it into the news outlet. The second one is that when people read it and consume, listen or watch that news story, we want them to take action. So we really need to create a connection. We need to build rapport. We need to spark their fire. So it really needs to go a little bit beyond just what the thing is at hand and use storytelling as a way to form a beautiful connection. I think I listened to your previous guest on your podcast, the author Megan, I've forgotten her last name, but she was quite fabulous talking about storytelling and using those funny moments within her life to build connection with people. And, you know, that's such an important message for people who are thinking about, oh, I don't have stories to tell, because everyone does. and there's different ways to uncover those stories. But if we don't wrap stories around our business and our product, it really is difficult to be rememberable.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's an important point. I think it's Amanda Turner you were talking about with the digital nomad stories.
Yeah, and the kids, yeah. The parenting stories.
Yeah, that's right. I think with stories, I mean, I know I find it difficult myself to think about, you know, there's stories in what we do. I mean, things happen to us all the time, and yet you kind of think, oh, that's happened to me, it's of interest to me, but it's not something that would be of interest to somebody else. So how do you approach that with clients that maybe have that mindset?
Well, I think just about, I would say it's probably 80-20. 80% of people think their stories aren't that interesting and 20% think they're absolutely fabulous. Yeah. But I think humans are deeply curious about the most mundane things. Like, you know, how people do what they do is, you know, really fascinating to others. So just being a little bit curious about yourself and your, you know, things that have happened in your life and realizing that actually they do carry some weight. And, you know, perhaps it might be interviewing yourself as you might interview a guest for your podcast to, you know, uncover some of those things. What are the unique things about you? What are the pivotal moments in your journey that have happened to you that have led you to where you are? What changes do you inspire in the people that you work with? You know, any stories can be teased out, but it's just a matter of giving yourself time to tease them out, sit down and actually think about it. And honestly, there's some really basic questions that you can ask of yourself. Go through your CV and your personal history and, you know, think about what's something interesting that changed my life forever within that small moment. So we've each had little aha moments at various moments across our journey, and teasing them out because they're all stories that people relate to. We are curious by nature and we just want to know how people do what they do.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at that. And I guess it's not that easy to do, to kind of take a third party position and interview yourself and say, why did you do that? Or, you know, what happened then? How did that make you feel? And those sort of things. Yeah.
It might even be, you know, getting someone to ask you those questions of yourself, write a list of questions. You know, some of the questions might be, what was a moment that changed your life forever? Or what was the trigger that inspired you to do what you do now? Or it might be, what was the most challenging moment in your life? Or what does success look and feel like for you? Are you there? If you're not there, what's in the way? What do you still want to achieve personally or professionally in your life? Because often these little questions will start to untangle more conversations, and often a free-flowing recorded conversation's a nice way to reflect back on the things you say and you're like, oh, I didn't even realize that was part of the story that I typically say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's an important point there too about recording conversations. I was listening to something the other day. I can't remember exactly what it was now, but the person was saying they, I think it might have been one of my podcast guests, and they said that the the thing that gave them the most ideas was having conversations with other people, and that now, as a rule, any time they have conversations with a number of trusted people, so that he was talking about his business partner in particular, but also a few other people, he would record the conversation and then listen back to it afterwards, and
totally.
That there would be a whole lot of ideas come out of that. So, yeah, it's the same kind of principle, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever I work on a media strategy for a new client, aside from looking at, you know, industry data, trends, and, you know, speaking with the client themselves, I always ask to speak to 5 or 6 different clients or people within their network or, you know, at different stages of their career so that I can understand exactly what it looks and feels like for people at different stages, because those conversations are absolute gold, and often it's someone else not understanding what it is you do that becomes a how-to explainer about your business, or, you know, like a just you uncover ways to describe what you do or a different way to look at things.
Hmm. All right. So having kind of digging into someone's story then, if you like, what makes a good pitch from that? How do you then go about turning that into a pitch that's likely to find interest, first of all, with the media? And, of course, you know, even if you do get something published, you've got to find interest with the audience that you're targeting, right?
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Katrina Blowers the other day, who's a Channel 7 news anchor in Queensland in Australia, and she you know, she just put it so nicely that, you know, their job with the news is to inform, but to make people feel. So if you have a think about that when you're exploring what you want to put out there and pitch, what is going to make people emotionally invested in what it is you're saying? Because we know when they're emotionally invested, they're going to be less critical and less objective, and they're going to really connect in with what you're about. So ideally, we want to think about a couple of different story formats, either suspense and cliffhangers, so that we can get that dopamine release, which will make people more focused and motivated and improve memory about our story. Or we want to go down the avenue of honest and real and raw story. So that might be something sad, or it might be something, you know, really emotional, to release oxytocin, which will build trust and empathy and hopefully make people a little bit more generous when they think about us. And then, of course, the other avenue is making people laugh, because endorphins are magic for releasing creativity and making people relaxed and focused. So when we think about the sorts of stories that we own, we want to harness things that the media will typically talk about that might sit within that framework. So it might be stories of hardship. It might be emotional journeys or stories of accomplishment. But we really want to think about what's going to spark curiosity with our end customer. So think about that target audience of one. Think about what they're thinking about, what they're worrying about, what they get delighted about in their world. And bring that back to a personal story that is relatable in your business. So when we think about shaping a pitch, we've got our story and then we've got the agenda of the outlet that we're pitching to. So, you know, it might be that we're thinking about our business experience. We might be coupling that with some personal experience so that it's got that relatability to it. And then we need to think about, what does this outlet normally cover stories about? If we're pitching to a Nova, for example, we know that you might typically be talking to customers who, or audience members who are interested in consulting or technology or manufacturing. So what's in our story that will relate to them? And that's where we need to merge and fuse the two agendas together. So I always think of, you know, classic marketing Venn diagram. You know, you've got one circle with your agenda, you've got another circle with the outlet's agenda, and our job is to find a way to fuse the two together and find that sweet spot in the middle of what's going to be relatable, interesting, and curious to those that we're pitching to. So that's kind of what we're looking for when it comes to putting together a great pitch.
Yeah. And I do like the approach you take to think of just the one audience member and speak to that one person. So you've got to have a really clear idea of who is it that you want to get your message to, and really know what's going to connect with them and engage them.
Totally. And look, I think the reason why publicity and publicists have a pretty sordid reputation is because in the good old days, the media approach was send out a fax to every contact you've got in your little black book, whether it's appropriate or not. We're going to blast out the media release. And, you know, that behavior has stayed with a lot of publicists, the spray and pray mindset, you know, stick it out there and cross your fingers and hope that someone will pick it up. But unfortunately, you know, throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping one piece sticks is just an awful misuse of, you know, your time, your client's investment in you, but also an absolute abuse of the inbox you're sending it to. You know, a lot of the journalists that I speak to, they'll say, you know, if they step away from their inbox for an hour, they'll have between 200 and 300 emails in their inbox. And so if we think about, you know, how stressful and anxiety ridden that inbox must be, we don't want to be contributing to that in a way that's, you know, going to be wasteful. So think about the audience of one and only send your pitch to people that it really matters to. And instead of thinking, here is this email blast with my media release and it's going to go to 200 of my finest contacts, I want people to be thinking about publicity as I'm going to send this one email to this one journalist or podcast host who really is aligned to my message. And so that should be, you know, really evident from the email that you send that it's to one individual and you're talking about the previous episodes that you enjoyed that they wrote or that they hosted or the articles that they published, and you're speaking to how your stories aligned to those previous episodes so that they can see, yeah, this totally makes sense. This is 100% aligned. So I really, really hope that through everything that I talk about time and time again is that people move away from that spray and pray model of PR and they move to more writing love letters to people that they really care about.
That's a wonderful analogy. And I think what you've described there, I mean, it's absolute gold, because what you've described there, I think, captures what's wrong with marketing and advertising today as well. If you go through the social media these days, it's just so full of noise. It's like the 300 emails in your inbox. And to find something of value there is becoming harder and harder. Of course, that... And so, you know, advertisers and marketers are doing that spray and pray approach still, rather than that focused on who is the ideal person that they can help, that they should be talking to, and focusing on them and really writing a love letter to them, as you said.
Yep. Lots of love letters, lots of creeping and stalking in your research process.
Yeah, I like. When you've said that in other podcast interviews, but I think it's really important because I get pitched quite a bit as a podcast host, and a lot of them are very much like, well, how's that add value to my audience and how's that pitch? And it's clear that the person's written something that's generic. It's clear that they haven't done any research, so they don't even know what the podcast is about. So, you know, your point about stalking people online, if you like, to essentially do your research and find out something about them before.
Yeah, well, I would always say to people, at the very least, listen to 2 episodes of the podcast. At the very least, you're investing, you know, 90 minutes in someone to really get to know them. And if it's a journalist that is in the written form, then read 10 articles. If it's a TV program, watch 3 episodes. You know, at the very least, and I would say the romance period before pitching, I would like people to be considering a 3-month period so that they're 100% clear that that person's aligned. Because aside from anything else and annoying the journalist and it not being the right fit, what happens if they say yes, but you didn't realize that they were actually a neo-Nazi and that had appeared on the podcast prior? Do you know what I mean? Like, there could be all kinds of terrible brand damage that could occur from someone not doing that research and, you know, hopefully even, not in that predicament.
Yeah, or even if they are a perfect fit and you then appear on that media outlet, particularly if it's a live situation, you know, let's say it's a podcast or a TV or radio interview, and you come across as unprepared, you don't know what you're talking about, well, you've done huge damage to your brand.
Absolutely.
So just a little bit of preparation. All right. Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier that you do is you also have an online course, a 9-week PR course. And so how did you decide to go about taking what you do with your clients one-on-one and turn that into a course? And what were some of the steps you took then to make that reality?
Yeah, well, I think probably one of the biggest things that I noticed was that, like, here in Byron, all of my best mates are business owners and they're all broke. Like, they're, you know, early stage entrepreneurs. They don't have a lot of cash, but they've got like insanely clever stories. They are the biggest hustlers. They are so talented and sparkly, and they're doing things because they love what they do. And so by virtue of that, they have incredible stories to tell and they're PR gold. But there's absolutely no way they could afford, you know, to pay a retainer, which typically is anywhere between 2.5 and 10 grand a month. Like, you know, and generally a PR project is going to cost about 10 grand at the bottom end over a 3-month period or, you know, and that's what it needs. That's the sort of time commitment you need to do. And so it sort of became really apparent to me that not just my friends here in Byron, but so many business owners are in that predicament of being incredible hustlers, amazing stories, no cash to spend on PR, but actually the thing that could really transform them and help them level up at pace would be media exposure and understanding how to navigate them that themselves. And I guess the other thing is that I am hyper aware that publicity is not rocket science. You know, it's follow a simple formula of reading the news, understand whether it's aligned with you, and share your story in a creative way. So, yeah, so that's kind of how it came from, you know, realizing, seeing a little problem and realizing that, you know, a way to make it affordable was to do small group coaching. Initially, I started with one-on-one coaching and just had one person at a time. And I realized that I could potentially scale it up to just, I have groups of 5 business owners because the brainstorming and collaborative work that comes out of those group calls is insane. Like, it, you know, when we talk about not knowing what your story is or not realizing something that's curious or going to tickle someone else's fancy, having 5 other business owners on a call who can go, oh God, I didn't understand that, or, you know, why do you do that? Then suddenly you see all of the amazing juicy story opportunities that are under the hood. So yeah, I scaled from doing one at a time to groups of 5, and I'm very, very strict at capping it at groups of 5. So it alternates between theory 1 week and a practical brainstorming session the opposite week. And we have industry guests, so news anchors, editors from magazines, podcast hosts come and join us to talk about what they like to see in a pitch. And obviously I'm forever nose to the ground, talking to editors and journalists and producers to understand what irks them, what they're looking for, what makes for a winning pitch. So it's pretty fun. I absolutely love doing it.
Yeah, and I like how you've structured that as a model, because it's scaled in a way that you haven't built an online course that leaves people on their own and gets you hundreds of people into the course. It's still very high touch from your point of view, but it is some level of scaling. And
there's a very good reason why.
Yeah.
I've paid good money. I think I've paid like $1,500 for online courses that I haven't opened a single email from because I just didn't have any accountability.
Yeah.
So that was something that I was very, very focused on, that there being that high touch accountability as part of it.
Yeah, and I think you raise a really important point there. I mean, I know I've spent money on lots of courses, and in fact, I've got one now, which is a fantastic course, and it's really high value, but I'm just finding actually they're putting out a lot of information. It's a little bit of overwhelm, and of course, you know, I'm feeling overwhelmed, so, and I can't keep up, so I've kind of parked the whole thing, which I keep telling myself I've got to try to get onto that some more, but I think the models of these courses where it's just a fire
online
hose.
Online evergreen. Yeah.
Yeah, well, a fire hose of information, if you like, for people who essentially are really busy and struggling to find time. That's the major issue, I think, with all entrepreneurs is kind of the model's a little bit broken. So I really like yours, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, look, I'm very driven by public humiliation. So if I want to train for a marathon, I need a running buddy to show up for. If I want to learn something, then I need to show up and it be known that I'm not there. I've done that with group fitness. I'll do it with education. And it really works. Like, we very rarely don't have people show up. And if they do, they always watch the recordings back and, you know, catch up. So we haven't had any drop off.
That's great. Yeah, public accountability is really important. So I'll tell you a little story about me that might be a little interesting. So 2 weeks ago, I did a 100-mile bike ride, and I actually hadn't really prepared all that well for it. It's an event that I do every year, but in the past they'd only done 100 kilometers for fundraising for a regional cancer research institute. I'll mention them here because they do wonderful work, Fiona Elsie Cancer Research Institute. And I love doing that ride because all of the money, all of the entry fee goes to the charity, and it's entirely run by volunteers, and all the materials that they use is all donated by sponsors. And yet it's a really professionally run event. So I really enjoy doing it on a whole range of levels. But the other thing is they instigated a 100-mile one this year, and because I've done it so many years, I thought, oh, that'll be a challenge for me, so I'll do that. But I hadn't really prepared that well, and I was hedging my bets in terms of I hadn't entered up until about a month beforehand, and I thought, well, I'm gonna have to do something here, I'm gonna have to commit. So I entered, and then I told a whole bunch of people that I was doing this ride. So I thought, now I'm accountable. And I did the ride, and about halfway through the ride, I was having some mechanical issues, and I thought it was one thing that maybe I could manage and get through. I was very close to actually pulling out in the middle, but I thought, no, I said I'm going to do this, so I'll finish. And I managed to finish. It turned out that one of my pedal cranks had actually broken in two, and it was just being held by the casing. So I was essentially pedaling with one side with half the power that I potentially had, and completed this 100-mile ride. So at the end of it, that was a pretty impressive effort. Yeah. Simply because I told a whole bunch of people I was going to do it. And I, when I got to the, you know, where my mind was starting to say, you know, you should pull out of this, it's too hard and whatever, I thought, no, I've got to do this. I've said I'm going to do it.
It's amazing what it can force you to do. Did you have one leg sorer than the other?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, my right-hand side, which was where the pedal had cracked, there were different muscle groups really sore afterwards. So what I'd been doing was, totally changing my technique to adapt. And so I was really sore in some spots.
Well, there's a lesson there for all of us as communicators. What can we build into our comm strategies to create public accountability for people?
Mm.
A very powerful motivator.
That's right, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, as I say, I really do like that course model. And I think the other thing you mentioned there, and I think this is a really good learning too, is bringing people together to kind of share their story, but then to comment on their peers that are in the course with them and say, oh, wow, that's really interesting. Tell me more about that, which then highlights some of the things that I might not find interesting about myself, but all of a sudden somebody else has said, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah, totally. And look, I think also on top of that is the layer of community. You know, as business owners, you know, sometimes we have a team, sometimes we don't. And it can sometimes feel a little bit lonely when you don't have people to bounce ideas with. And that can be a real roadblock when you're trying to move forward. So having, you know, a little community of people that understand the journey that you're on can be really, really beautiful thing.
Hmm. All right. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, Odette. I'm conscious of the time, so I think it's a good point to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's geared to help primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that will inspire our listener to go and do something awesome today as a result. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think that, you know, the number one thing would be to get away from your technology. I find it really, really difficult to be deeply creative or think outside the box when I'm tied to emails, to social media, to technology. And I feel like putting that down, getting time out in nature is really where, you know, your creative energy gets lit up. And you can start to see problems from different perspectives. So if you're looking to innovate, try and create space for yourself.
Mm, yeah, that's wonderful advice. I mean, I talked about the bike riding. I find that if I'm out on a ride, particularly in nice countryside, that's often when ideas come to me. And I'm sure that there's lots of nice things to do in Byron Bay there that you can get out into nature and enjoy.
Totally. I swear by going to the beach every morning with my dog, and that, you know, going for a walk or a run is definitely what fires up my innovation brain.
Hmm. All right. Well, that kind of touches on the second question, which is what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Well, I would say, you know, like developing my Hack Your Own PR program was definitely me innovating in my business. And the only way I could do that was taking a pause moment from my daily grind. And I was, you know, really at a point where I was working too much, and I needed to press pause on everything in order to have some space and see what I could do differently. So I took time away from the business, and by time away, I mean I had the luxury of taking a good month away from 9 to 5, or whatever crazy hours it is in business. But I do recommend, you know, because I was really at a burnout phase before that, and I would recommend to people, you know, if you feel like you're burned out and you're done, don't burn the house down with you. To take a step away to, you know, and you'll, through that process of not being tied to technology, not being tied to your daily to-do list, that's where the creative energy comes from. But I say that from a position of extreme luxury that I was able to do that. And it might be having a weekend or a long weekend away to, you know, come up with some of that creative ideation.
And leaving the technology behind too.
Yeah.
All right. Now, do you have a favorite resource that you use a lot?
In terms of productivity, I know this is not really very innovative, but I'm, you know, I just like a to-do list, having a high functioning to-do list. I recently, you know, had a complaint to a friend and I just said, she said, oh, what's the biggest thing that worries you? And I was like, time management, not having enough time to do everything. And she was like, that's not actually a thing. You just need to get your stuff organized with a to-do list. And I was like, oh, right, it's that simple. And it's true. You know, as soon as I nutted out my to-do list with the big picture items and the today tasks and the this is what's on this week task and broke it down into those three things, allocated the time to them, instead of another day just passing by and, you know, feeling like I was treading water, instead I was really able to break down things into a practical, realistic, you know, list of things that I could actually get done. And also I think the other thing is doing a what I did list, because that sense of accomplishment when maybe you only ticked off 3 out of 5 things on the list, but actually you did these other 7 things that were important and necessary but unplanned, you know, gives you that kick of serotonin that we all need in our business so that we continue to love and enjoy what we're doing.
Hmm. Yeah, the to-do list is incredibly powerful. It has to be done right, though, and I think what you're suggesting is a really good approach, looking at the big picture, looking at what's on today and this week as a sort of a planning out a midterm period as well. And then,
yeah,
because that gives you a sense of what you can accomplish. And I know this is one thing I struggle with. I try to do too much. And so it tends to become overwhelming. But then looking at the what have you accomplished and done list, that's always incredibly powerful. And I love ticking something off.
My dad always starts a to-do list with write a to-do list so that he feels good at the beginning.
Yeah, so I can tick the first one off, yeah. Yeah, that's great. I love it.
And I think also with that, like, you know, writing your to-do list is also like packing in time in your diary to do nothing and during business hours to have lots of that white noise time so that, you know, if there's overflow or if you need to be innovating or working on strategy that you've got time to think, because I think we're very good at packing in all the hours of the day with tasks.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding now. I've just started using, probably for about 3 months now, a new to-do app that actually lets me schedule things into the calendar, into the same calendar that I have for my appointments. And
What's this called?
It's Amazing Marvin. And I've started leaving those white spaces in between things because I know, you know, often I'll say, well, I'll do an hour's work on this project and I know that once I get going, I can just keep going for ages. So first of all, it's got timers built in so you can set timers. But secondly, I build in those white spaces, which does really help you kind of switch off, focus on the next thing you're going to do, and as you say, it helps sort of with innovation as well.
Absolutely. Well, Marvin does sound amazing. I'll be checking that out.
All right. Now, what's the best way to keep a project or a client on track? So you've shared with us how you do it in your PR course.
I think the biggest thing is, I guess it comes back to that public accountability, yeah. But really transparent expectations. This is what I'm going to achieve for you. You know this is what I'm going to achieve. And so then I'm publicly accountable to keep things on track. And really clear boundaries around, you know, this is how much contact time, this is, you know, where I'm going to be spending time on it. I think if you're clear with what it is you're going to do, you're not only making it clear to yourself so that you've got a lovely path forward, but you've also made your client completely aware of what you're doing so that, you know, you're not just letting yourself down. If things don't stay on track, you're letting them down.
Yeah, that's great advice. The public accountability we've talked about and setting the expectations clearly up front, I think, is really important. Okay, now this is a very relevant question to today's topic. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Just be you. You know, no one else can do you. And I think lean into a very authentic version of yourself and be comfortable with your quirks and weirdness and all the wonderful things, because it's going to make sure that you're connecting with that customer of one because they really believe and trust what you're about.
Great advice. It does require a fair bit of self-awareness though. You know.
Yeah, just be you unless you're too weird.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, Odette. This has been really great. Now, where can people find out more about you and maybe even reach out and say thanks for what you've shared today?
Thanks for that. I'm over at odetteandco.com.au and at Odette & Co on Instagram, or find me, Odette Barry, on LinkedIn.
All right, and we'll have links in the show notes to all those places. Now, what number one piece of advice would you like to leave our listener with today, particularly in regard to being a leader in innovation and in their field?
Well, it might be advice that they've heard before from Nike, but just do it. If you want to be a leader, if you want to do a thing, if you want to, you've got a thing on your to-do list, just do it. There's, you know, no one holding you back but yourself. So just have a crack.
Yeah, that's great advice. And somebody said to me, it was another guest on this show, said, be addicted to failure. So that's kind of an extreme version of that. So don't wait for things to be perfect before you get out and test it out and do it.
That's it.
All right. And finally, Odette, who would you like me to have a chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Ooh, this is a good one. Look, I think someone who I really admire in business, who is a real game changer and an inspiration for me in my own business, is Prue Chapman. She has the One Wild Ride podcast and Owners Collective. And she's just been a really supportive pillar for so many businesses and helped them transform, and particularly with a focus on good business and social impact. So very great little storyteller in herself.
All right. Well, we'll reach out to Prue and maybe get an introduction from you so that we can get her on the podcast. And I think one of the podcasts I listened to that you had done in the past was with Prue, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's great. Thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today on the Innova Buzz podcast, Odette. I've really enjoyed this immensely and learned a lot. There's a lot of parallels there, I think, with PR and marketing in general and even advertising. So I'm sure there's lessons here for many people, and I really appreciate you sharing all of that. So I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Awesome. Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed that delightful and informative conversation with Odette and took something away from her episode. I love her process for discovering your own story such that it could be presented in a way that's of interest and value to others. So I might be asking for someone to interview me in the future. I'd love to know what you took away from Odette's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Odette Barry. That is OdetteBarry. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Odette Barry. You'll find contact information for getting in touch with Odette there, as well as links to the Odette & Co website, to her content planning guide, her social media pages, and the other resources that we spoke about in our conversation today. Odette suggested that we have a conversation with Prue Chapman, host of the One Wild Ride podcast, on a future Innova Buzz podcast episode. So Prue, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Odette Barry. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. But most importantly, it will enable you in less than 30 minutes to gain absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery, or our help with producing your very own podcast, even launching your very own podcast if you don't yet have one, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we can set up a quick call to have a short conversation and find out whether we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Michael Vann, co-author of Buying Out the Boss, and Tony DeVale of Life Masters. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the Innova Buzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jurgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.